This is a word that the Lord spoke to my heart earlier this week, and I've just kind of been sitting under the weight of it. It's kind of like one of those messages that you're a little bit nervous to give. My concern is that this message wouldn't affect everybody. Because at New Life, we've got old people and we've got young people. We've got brand new believers in Jesus and we've got old believers in Jesus. We've got people from all different countries and all different walks of life. And as I write a message, I'm not sure that this message is going to hit home with everybody. So this message is only for people that sometimes struggle with getting past their past. So if you've never had a problem with your character, if you've never had a problem in a situation that you dealt with and you made the wrong decision and you made a mistake, it might have even been sin. If you've never dealt with a problem in your past and you can't get past your past, then this message will not apply to you. Now, Jesus, we're very glad that you're here today, and we pray that you would help the rest of us to hear this message, because the rest of us sometimes struggle to get past our past. Now, I'm going to ask a question for you. Think of Dwight Schrute saying, question, is it possible to change the past? Fact, it is not. Once the past happens, those are the old days. Now, nobody in the old days goes, boy, I'm sure glad we're living in the old days, because those are the new days. Those are today's days. But the moment a moment happens, it's over, and the past is in the past. So, question, is it possible to change the future? Fact, tomorrow hasn't happened yet. Yeah. That's some preaching right there. I had to go to Bible college to learn that. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet. So in fact, you can choose a different tomorrow based on how you respond to the word of God today. You don't have to wake up on a Monday morning the same way you felt last Monday morning. It depends on how you respond to the word of God today. I'm going to ask you a quick question. Just slip up a hand and hold it up. Have you ever done anything stupid in your life? Have you ever done something really stupid? I got both hands up. It's one of those things that you regret, right? Like the moment it happens, whether it was a car accident and you know it was your fault, or you did something at work and it cost your company money and you knew it was your fault, and the moment it happened, you're like, oh, there's immediate regret. Sometimes we do things in our life that are like really bad. Like maybe you committed adultery and you had an affair with somebody that you're not married to. Maybe you got angry. I knew a guy that I went to Bible college with that he hit a store clerk with a pair of brass knuckles. He just wanted to knock him out so he could knock over the register. He was a drug addict before Jesus. But what happened is the way that the guy got hit in the head and then fell to the ground, he died. The store clerk died. So this guy was charged with manslaughter, and I think he did 9 or 10 years in jail, and obviously rightly so. But I think he was high at the time. But can you imagine the next morning waking up in jail and hearing the story that you hit somebody with brass knuckles and even though it was accidental, you killed somebody? The regret that you would immediately feel because you can't change the past. So sometimes we do things in life, big or small, and they're bad things. They're major things. So if we believe in Jesus, we believe that he is the Son of the Most High God. We believe that he came to earth to die for our sins, and we put our faith in him. We repent of our sins, and we ask God to forgive us, and we believe that he does forgive us. But then when God asks us to forgive ourselves, we can't because we're tied to that thing that we did. We can't get past our past. Now, when I talk about your past, this might be something that happened 5 or 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This might have been something you did last night. When I talk about the past, I mean any moment that is beyond backwards a moment ago, something that you did or maybe something that was done to you that you can't seem to get past your past. Now, I'm going to drop another Bible school, just, you know, mind-blowing grenade on you, right? Here we go. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins, he does. I'm not kidding. Seriously. When you ask God to forgive, he completely erases. He completely forgives you of your sins. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, would you repeat this nice and loud? Say, I am completely forgiven.
I am completely forgiven.
My soul is white as snow.
My soul is white as snow.
Jesus has removed my sin.
Jesus has removed my sin.
I'm a saint, not a sinner. See, what I love about the Lord is he doesn't partially forgive us. He completely and entirely forgives every wrongdoing. And I will say this, when we receive forgiveness from God, it's something that we receive, not something that we achieve. There's nothing that you can do for God to forgive you of your sin because he did all of the work on the cross at Calvary. You are simply forgiven if you believe and you repent and you ask him to forgive you. And here's the deal though. So many Christians that I work with are living under the guilt and the shame that they're putting on themselves. God's not putting that on you. And it's because you won't forgive yourself. I remember when I was a kid, 1984, I was about 10 years old, and my parents announced that for summer vacation, we would be packing up the 1977 Dodge Sportsman van and driving from Maryland to, that is the van that we had, I'm not kidding you, and we would be driving to Florida. So they had bought tickets to Disney World for like a whole week. They had booked hotels at Disney World. They had booked hotels along the way. And back then, you had to go to AAA. Who remembers the TripAdvisor things that flipped, the flip pages with the maps? Because there was no GPS. I'll explain that to the young people one day. And I can't, now that I'm a parent and I have kids, and I've taken my kids to Disney once for one day, not a week. I know how expensive, how many thousands and thousands of dollars my parents must have put out to prepare this vacation. And I remember we had to get up super early in the morning, and my stepfather had packed almost everything the night before. Basically, we just had to climb out of bed and crawl into the bench seats and don't hook up a seatbelt because it was 1984, hallelujah, so you can really stretch out and sleep while they drove. Now, obviously, I was excited, and obviously, I got into the Sportsman, and we headed south on 95. But let me just propose this. What if I would have stood in the driveway and be like, no, I'm not going. I refuse to go. Now, my parents and my sister are sitting in the van. It's packed. It's paid for. It's done. All I have to do is get in the van. And I'm sitting there going, no, I refuse to receive this gift that you've already paid for. Right? Are you with me? When we humbly and gladly receive a gift, the giver is glorified. But when we refuse to receive a gift that's already been paid for, we're mocking, we're belittling the giver. When God offers you forgiveness and gives you forgiveness, receive it with a glad heart, that brings him worship. When we don't fully receive his forgiveness and we begin to shame ourselves, we are mocking him. And we're mocking the price that was paid, which was his own son, Jesus. Part of unwrapping the gift of forgiveness is not just receiving God's forgiveness, but it's you forgiving yourself for the stupid thing that you did and not living in the past so that you can live in your future. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ. Now, I'm not talking about unchristian people, people on the outside of the family of faith. But if you believe that Jesus is Lord, if you're in the family of faith, anybody that belongs to Christ has become a new person. Other translations say a new creation. The implication in the Greek is that the Lord creates, he forms a totally new thing, a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. This is a gift from God. So the old sinful version of you, the version of you that did that stupid thing, the version of you that used to do all those stupid things, that person, if you believe in Jesus, is dead and gone because the Lord has created a completely new version of you with Jesus living on the inside of you. It's like you go into the Kingdom Jesus Witness Protection Program. He gives you a new secret identity. He changes your name. He calls you a child of the Most High God. You're a saint, not a sinner anymore. And he's given you the new name, and that new name, that banner over you, is under the forgiveness. It's under grace. But here's the funny thing about church people. We try to act so humble. We try to act so religious. We try to act so spiritual that we still hold our sins against ourselves when God doesn't. It's like God didn't do a good enough job, so we know better than him. We need to put ourselves under the feelings of guilt and under shame. Because we're trying to act humble, but really it's extreme pride to not forgive yourself or not fully receive the forgiveness of God. because you're putting yourself as an idol above the Lord. You're putting your thoughts and your opinions above that. You're establishing yourself and your own intellect as greater than that of the Most High God. And I'm telling you something. God is smarter than you. And if he loves you so much that he's willing to forgive you, we are fools to not receive that forgiveness. It's like we've committed a crime and we go to court, we go before the judge, and the judge says, all right, listen, I know this was a bad thing, but it was a first-time offense. No jail time. I'm just going to pardon this. You know, pay a $100 court fee for the clerk. You're pardoned. And you stand in the courtroom and go, oh, no thank you, Your Honor. I did a bad thing. You should shame me, condemn me, send me to jail. And the judge is like, you don't know better than me, bro. I do this for a living. I know what's up. You are pardoned. You are forgiven. How silly is it for us to try to continue to shame ourselves when God doesn't? Because he sees our sin. He loves us so much that he still is willing to forgive us. In fact, he completely removes our sin and restores us, and he makes us brand new. So when we don't forgive ourselves, when we don't fully receive forgiveness, we're setting ourselves up above the Most High God. All right, let's move on. A couple of tips on how to forgive yourself. Number one, you need to learn some practice. You need to learn to forgive other people. When other people hurt you, when other people dishonor you, when other people wrong you, when other people sin against you, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, pre-forgive them. Just assume if they drive a white pickup truck on 183, they're gonna cut you off. I'm just saying, the moment you see Jeff driving by, just assume he's going to cut you off. So here's the deal. You pre-forgive. The moment somebody at work is nasty and snarky or at school and they're so rude to you, instead of you being like, who do you think you're talking to? Just be like, that's cool, I forgive you. What do you mean you forgive? I pre-forgive. You can't hurt me because I've pre-forgiven you. That's a good word for the spouses up in the house. You know what I'm saying? Just pre-forgive. Baby, for what I'm about to do this afternoon, I'm sorry. Pre-forgive me. And I definitely forgive you for that attitude you had. But my point is, part of learning to forgive yourself is that you would easily forgive other people. And you're teaching yourself to forgive other people. Number two would be learn to receive forgiveness from other people. You did something dumb at work. You said something you shouldn't have. You cut somebody off. You did, you know, whatever. You wronged somebody. And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they go, hey, it's cool. I totally forgive you. You need to learn to be like, thank you. I receive your forgiveness. Because sometimes people in our life, especially family members, they try to forgive us for the dumb things we do. And we like stiff arm them and like, no, no. We treat people like God. No, no. You should continue to shame me and hate me. And no, no, no. Receive forgiveness. It's good practice. And then that's going to, three, help you to forgive yourself. Now, let me also say this, though. I understand that sometimes we commit major sins. We do have affairs. We commit adultery. People have had abortions in our church, like especially before coming to Jesus. Some of us have done some pretty terrible things. The guy I was in Bible school with that killed that guy. Sometimes, even though we are repentant and we receive God's forgiveness, sometimes there are still prices to be paid to society. Like, sometimes you can't change the past and you're going to live in this future, but in the moment, you might have to go serve some time for a crime that you committed. Or you might have committed an affair and a divorce is coming your way. And there's still consequences for the things that we did. I'm not saying that just because God forgives us that on earth, we're not gonna have to pay the speeding ticket. But there are times that we still, in spite of that, need to forgive ourselves. Because we don't want to be slaves to the past. We want to be sons and daughters in the future. And if we live in the past, it's going to steal your future. Yeah. Philippians chapter 3 says, brothers and sisters at New Life Church in Euless, listen, Paul says, I haven't quite achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and then looking forward to what lies ahead. The Apostle Paul was a wicked sinner before he met Jesus. He literally was involved in murdering other Christians because they believed that Jesus was Lord. So this is a bad dude, but he has an encounter with God. He raises his hand in church. He prays the prayer. He repents. He comes to the altar. He fills out the Connect card. He goes through Growth Track. He gets plugged in. He becomes a life group leader. Like, his life was transformed at New Life. Hallelujah. We weren't around back then, but I'm sure he would have done the Growth Track. Growth Track 2 is today after service, but we need to realize that Paul himself said, I forget the past and I press on for the one thing. I forget the past because I'm going forward. I've repented of that sin, so I'm gonna go forward. I'm not gonna live in the past. I'm breaking off the chains to the past because I am moving forward. I look beyond my past. So if you have repented of your sin, you need to not only receive forgiveness, but you need to forgive yourself. Because what happens is the Apostle Paul is saying, I don't identify as the former Paul, as Saul. I don't identify with the guy that used to kill Christians. I'm a new creation. So often we identify with who we used to be. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be addicted to pornography. I used to be a liar. I used to have an anger problem. I used to do terrible things. And we associate ourselves with our past, but Paul says you need to forget the past and identify with who God's made you to be in the future, looking forward. Romans 8:1, this is gonna be a verse that's heavy for today. There is no condemnation for those that belong to Christ Jesus. If you've repented of your sin and made Jesus the Lord of your life, there is simply no condemnation. So you're like, no, I still need to condemn myself. I need to look in the mirror and hate myself. You need to look in the mirror and say, I love the person I see in the mirror because this person was so valuable to God that he gave his only son for this person. And if you look in the mirror and you can't honestly tell yourself, I love you and mean it in your heart, and I don't mean in a prideful way, you know, like an Instagram way, some of y'all. But humbly, you look in the mirror and you're like, God, I thank you that you've forgiven me of my sin. I thank you that, that the person I'm looking at is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because if the way that you're looking at yourself is not an accurate picture of the way that Jesus Christ sees you, basically you're denying the work of the cross. You're looking in the mirror and saying, yeah, I see what you say you did, but I don't really believe that you forgave me of my sin. I don't really believe I'm a new creation. I don't really believe you can remove the weight of that sin from my life. So here's two things that the Apostle Paul told us very plainly. Number one, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Number two, if you belong to Jesus, you are a new creation. You're a new person. The old is gone. He's creating a new life in you. And if we continue to condemn ourselves after receiving grace, after we receive Christ, we're crucifying Jesus all over again. So let me, some things that I've noticed, like a little self-test. You guys love to do tests on Facebook and Instagram, right? Here we go. A little test. People that are holding something against themselves, people that don't forgive themselves, they usually won't worship in freedom and joy. They don't understand why people are shouting and dancing and lifting their hands and singing because they won't worship because they feel weighed down by their past. Most people don't serve in the church. We ask people to serve, you know, once a month in the church, you know, in some form or area. Usually most people won't serve. They won't fully get connected. They won't join one of our life groups. They won't go through the growth track. They won't fully connect with the church because they're just waiting for the shoe to drop when people find out about the terrible thing they did and then we'll shun them. Listen, we love people, period. Did you hear what I said? We love people. We love people that make very few mistakes. We love people that make a lot of mistakes. We love people that make baby mistakes and big mistakes. We love everybody. So go ahead and plug into the church. I noticed that people won't share their faith. They won't try to witness to the checkout person at the grocery store because they feel like somehow that their faith in Jesus is counterfeited because of the sin that they're holding on to. They won't take communion. They're gonna let the communion go right by because they don't feel like what does the scripture say? That they would be condemning themselves. Now, the Lord doesn't condemn you, but I'm gonna condemn myself, so we'll pass on communion. And we don't encourage other people in their faith because we have tripped and fallen. We feel like we can't be a cheerleader for other people. And then we keep kicking ourselves when we're down. I'm telling you, God doesn't kick us when we blow it because we all blow it. Look at Psalm 103:10. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. He doesn't deal harshly with us. Yes, we deserve it, but because of his love for us, because of the cross, because of the empty tomb, he doesn't deal with us harshly. So there's no reason why we should be dealing harshly with ourselves. Verse 11, his unfailing love towards those that fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. His love for you has no end. It has no bound. He doesn't kick you when you're down. So we shouldn't be kicking ourselves for old sins. We don't need to shame and punish ourselves for things that we did in the past. So we need to learn to move past our past, but move in to holiness. It's not just that we come to this encounter where we don't change. We have to repent. We have to change who we are so we don't repeat the sins of our past. Because the Bible is very clear that we will reap a harvest of what we sow. Jesus said, you know, don't be fooled. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. You plant wheat, you're going to get wheat. You put apple seeds in the ground, you're going to get apple trees. He's saying, this is the way I set things up. You're going to reap what you sow. So here's the thing. If we plant sin in the ground, the Bible said that we're going to reap not sin, but death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But this is one of the biggest buts in the Bible, and it's one of my favorite. The free gift of God is eternal life. The free gift of God is eternal life, and it's only found in Christ Jesus. So if you've repented of your sin, even though you have sown sin and you're expecting a harvest of death, you're like waiting. Have you ever done something stupid as a Christian? You've sinned and you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. But somewhere in there, on your knees, next to your bed, in tears, you repented before God for your sin. So now it's been a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, and you're just waiting for the punishment to come. You're waiting for a harvest that'll never come because he takes your death and he sows life. Yeah. So you don't have to wait in fear anymore. That's grace. We sowed stupid, and he's going to give us life instead. That's his grace. That's how much he loves us. We don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus paid for us to get. And that is forgiveness and grace and love and life. That's why we can move past our past and into our glorious future with Jesus. So if you've done something stupid and you've repented before God, you don't have to wait for the other shoe to drop. He's taken away the shoe and given you gold bars. He's like, you're not going to experience death. I'm giving you life. Now, like I said, sometimes if you committed a crime, you need to go to the sheriff's department and submit yourself. You know, sometimes there's still consequences. I'm not saying that you're totally free, but I'm saying you are free from the guilt and shame of what you did. Yeah. Now, the other question would be, what happens if your thing hurts somebody else? For example, the guy in Bible school that hit that store clerk, he killed that man behind the counter. Or maybe you were an abusive spouse or an abusive boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe you had an affair with somebody and a baby was created. So now your pain is being multiplied in many other people's lives. Let me tell you something. When Jesus died for your sins, he erases the penalty of the sin in your life. His blood is powerful enough to erase the pain and suffering you caused in other people's lives as well. You have to bring that to him and say, Lord, I need your help on this. I need your grace to not just fall on me, but fall on the people that I hurt. And he says, okay, we're going to do this thing together. We're going to heal broken hearts together. We're going to heal together. It's not just for you. It's for those that you might have hurt. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God heals them and moves in their life and that they're not living under that guilt and shame either. I do love this story in the Bible, though. In ancient Israel, this is before they had like the New Testament laws and rules that the Peter and John and of course Paul were writing to the churches. So they were good Jewish people. So they had the law, right? They had the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, you know, honor the Lord, keep the Sabbath, don't use the Lord's name in vain, and don't commit adultery, right? So Jesus is in Jerusalem, and there's a big crowd developing and a murmur because they had found a woman in adultery. And I'm not quite sure how they found her in adultery with them themselves not being in some sort of shady stuff, but my point is they dragged her outside, and all these dudes grabbed stones, like big heavy stones, which are all over the Middle East, and they're fixing to stone her. This is actually legal because she broke the Jewish law. She deserves to die. She had an affair. She committed adultery. She deserves to die. Normal, right? I know it sounds bananas in 2019, but totally normal in ancient Israel, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. So they were just keeping the law, right? Then Jesus comes up. And they're like, hey, JC. Well, they wouldn't have used the C, but the point is, Bible school people got that one. So they have a stone. And they're like, is it okay if we stone this woman? Totally caught her in adultery. And Jesus says, sure, go ahead. If you're not into church stuff and not into the Bible, doesn't that freak you out? That Jesus' response was, yeah, stone her, go for it. But then he goes like this. Actually, wait. The first stone needs to be thrown by somebody with no sin. So all these dudes were like, no sin. John 8:9. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Let me ask you a question. Who was the one person in the crowd with no sin? Jesus. So is that dude going to pick up a rock and stone her? Verse 10. Jesus stood up, said to the woman, where are your accusers? Is there not even one to condemn you? No, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus doesn't shame you for your sin. Jesus doesn't condemn you for your sin. If you ask Jesus to forgive you, he will tell you, I forgive you. Move on. Move past your past. But listen to me, sin no more. Don't do it again. Don't do stupid twice. You learned the first time. I'm not going to condemn you for that. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to forgive you. Just don't go do it again. That's the one thing he asks us to do. Don't beat yourself up. Don't live in your past. Move past your past. Go, but sin no more. So Jesus is like, yeah, you did stupid. Don't do it again. That's how we move, is that we don't repeat it again and again and again. Real quick, in closing, I'm going to give you 6 steps that are going to help you to forgive yourself. We've kind of already gone over some of these, but number one, decide that you want to let it go. That thing that's been weighing you down, that thing that's been holding you back, that's a barrier to you moving past your past. So sometimes you just need to like take your foot and draw a line in the sand that says, you know what, today, November 10th, 2019, I made a decision that I'm gonna get past my past. I'm not gonna dwell on that incident that I did. Now, it doesn't guarantee that the devil's gonna stop playing that mind game video in your head, because the battlefield is actually in your mind. The Lord has completely forgiven you if you've asked him to, and he's restored your soul. The battlefield is actually in the mind. So it's not like the devil, like a roaring lion, isn't going to try to come mess with you and tear you down. But at least if you have drawn a line in the sand, you're like, nope, I refuse to give into that thing. I'm going to decide right here, right now, that I'm going to let that thing go. Moving on, number two. Own it, but don't be owned by it. Especially for this younger generation. I don't know that we've done a great job as parents and fathers and mothers to teach you guys how to own something. Our grandparents taught us well that when they make a mistake, and here's the deal, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does dumb, big or small. We all do dumb sometimes, but very few people take responsibility for it and say, I did dumb. That was my bad. Please forgive me. I'm gonna make amends. But let me also tell you this, one bad choice does not define you. It just means you're human and you did something stupid. And you need to own it, but don't be owned by it. Number three, grieve your losses. I understand that sometimes when we do dumb, we create a heartache in our life and in the lives of other people. I get that. I get that there's some grieving that needs to be done. You did something awful, but if you've brought it to the Lord, there can be a joy even in mourning. That you say, God, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So you can grieve the lost, you can grieve the stupid, but you don't have to beat yourself up. Beating yourself up it's not a requirement of your grief. Number four, seek forgiveness from other people if necessary. If what you did hurt somebody else, part of owning it is going to them and saying, hey, I blew it. When we were kids, when we were married, when we worked together, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Ask for forgiveness, and then hear what we talked about earlier, receive their forgiveness. You need to learn to receive forgiveness. When other people were like, hey, I forgive you, it's cool. That's how we move past our past. Number five, focus on this. What can I learn? What can I learn from that mistake? What can I learn? We had a couple that said they were brand new Christians. And they go, hey, pastor, every time we get drunk at a friend's house or a party or a wedding, we fight after while we're drunk. He goes, does the Bible say something about not drinking and not getting drunk? I said, have you not read your Bible yet? Like, what am I doing up here? I better teach a 7-week course on the biblical worldview. I said, yeah, the Bible has a lot to say about that. You can drink, but do not get drunk. It's a sin. He's like, I knew it. I totally knew it. So if what you did, whether you stole some money, you got angry, you caught yourself in a lie, you whatever, you committed adultery, you something bad, right? What can you learn from that so that you try to never do it again? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, when I got myself in that situation, I did stupid. So I'm never going to put myself in that situation again. That's how you get past your past and you have a better future. Number six, this is a big one. This is the one right here. You ready? You need to agree with God. If you've confessed your sin and he's forgiven you, if the Almighty God in heaven and earth, who knows you better than you even know yourself, if he forgives you, you need to come into agreement with God and forgive yourself and get past that thing that has hurt you. Because so many people say, Pastor, I just can't forgive myself. That's not true. You absolutely can forgive yourself. You're choosing not to. Because forgiveness is a choice. If somebody dings your car, if somebody says something that cusses you out, if somebody steals from you, if somebody hurts you, and they come to you humbly, hat in hand, and say, listen, I blew it. I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? Forgiveness, similar to love, is a choice. We have a choice. Yes, I pre-forgave you. I don't hold it against you. I completely forgive you. That forgiveness, that's a choice of our will, of our action. So we need to choose to forgive ourselves. So by coming into agreement with what God says about you, we're saying, I am forgiven. I have become the righteousness of Christ because he's washed away my sin. He's made me a new creation. I'm not to live under condemnation. I received a new identity. I am a saint, not a sinner. I'm a son, not an orphan. I am forgiven. So you simply need to recognize that fact and then live that out all day, every day. That's what the Lord did for you. Did that help you this morning? Hop up on your feet. We're going to pray some of this stuff through. Remember, if we don't forgive ourselves, remember the illustration from Disney or the standing in the courtroom? We're spitting in the face of the one who loves you so much when we don't forgive ourselves. Listen to this verse, Psalm 32:5. Finally, on November 10th, 2019, finally, I confessed all of my sin to you and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. Listen to this. I said to myself at the altar while they were singing that song, I got down on my knees and I'm going to confess all of my rebellion to the Lord. And then look what the Lord will do. He forgave me and all of my guilt is gone. I have another Bible college mind-blowing fact. You're not God. So stop acting like him. The Son sets you free. Act like it. Live like it. It doesn't mean you don't regret your actions, but it doesn't mean that you're going to live in the past. You're going to live in the future free of guilt and shame. Let's pray. Father in heaven, all of us have done stupid things in our life. All of us have sinned, big or small, a lot or a little. We've sinned against you. We're the reason you had to come. We're the reason you had to die. We're the reason that you went to the cross. And for my sin, I'm so sorry. I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I thank you that you loved me so much when I wasn't lovable. I thank you that you believed when I didn't believe. Lord, I pray today for those that are listening to this message and hearing these scriptures that have been carrying the weight and the shame of the things that they did. Yeah, we believe that you have forgiven us, but God, we somehow need to live in shame and live in guilt because of what we did. So we've been punishing ourselves. We haven't forgiven ourselves. God, I pray that today there would be such freedom, that you would lift that burden, you would lift that weight that we've been carrying. While you're praying and thinking about these things, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I do have to ask a few questions. Like, What happens if you're here this morning and you haven't yet repented of your sin? You haven't asked the Lord to forgive you. Maybe it was something you did last night or even this morning. If there's sin in your life, you need to repent. You need to turn away from it. And you need to live for the Lord. You need to ask Him to forgive you, and He will. If the Lord Jesus has not been your Savior, if He's not been living on the inside of you, if He's not been the King of your heart, today is absolutely your day to get right with God. So I might be talking to some people, this is the very first time in your life that somebody has brought you to this crossroads where you have to make a decision. Am I going to surrender my life to Jesus and live for Him? Or am I just gonna keep living for myself? This might be the first time in your life, or maybe it's the first time in a long time. You were in church as a younger person, or when you were younger, but you kind of let your heart grow cold, something happened to you, something hurt you, so you've let your heart just drift and wander away from the Lord. But today, you're in this church this morning, you're hearing this message, and you feel like God is beating on the door of your heart. He is. Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says that He will knock at the door of our heart. And if we will open the door to our heart, He will come in. So if that's you this morning, whether it's your first time or your first time in a long time, you need to pray, repent of sin, ask Him to forgive you, and make Jesus the Lord of your life. I would be honored to lead you in that prayer. But I would like to know who I'm praying for. Jesus died on a cross publicly in front of all of Jerusalem. Everybody's already got their head bowed in prayer anyway, but I'd like to know who I'm praying for. I'd like to look you in the eyes. So if that's you this morning, whether it's your first time or first time in a long time, would you raise your hand up real high and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Today's my day. I've got to get right with God." Where are you? I see your hand over there in the back. Come on, somebody. Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Come on, somebody. Anybody else? Raise them up. I see your hand. Wow. It always wears me out, man. Four or five people, and it usually takes one. That dude in the back was just like staring me right in the face, like, "Preacher, today is my day." And then once there's that one that breaks the ice, I saw hands shooting up all over the place. It just, listen, you four or five people that raised your hand, it's not an accident that you were here this morning. We've been praying for you. We didn't know you by name, but we've been praying for you. We've been praying that God would bring you to this place, bring you to this encounter, so that you could see Jesus is Lord. You could repent of your sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's a great day. But here, let's pray. In fact, why don't we all pray this together? Can we do that? Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn away from a life of sin and I turn to You. So I receive the gift of forgiveness." We're gonna do that again for the people in the cheap seats. Listen, if you've been carrying a burden, yeah, you're a Christian, but you've been carrying a burden, you haven't been able to forgive yourself, let's say it again. I receive complete and total forgiveness of all of my sin. Thank You, Jesus. I receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus, be the Lord of my life and the King of my heart. In Jesus' name. Hey, for you four or five, and those of you that just released a burden, can we thank the Lord right now? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. All right. I do want to pray, and I want to deal with some things about not being able to forgive yourself. So first of all, I'd like our prayer team to come down to the altars. If you're here this morning and you were one of those four or five people, reach into the seat back in front of you and fill out that Connect card and then bring it down and pray with one of our prayer team members. If you have pain in your body, come pray with one of our prayer team members. If there's sickness in your body, come pray with one of our prayer team. If you're here this morning and there's a need, an issue, a problem, something going on in your life, whatever it is, family, relationship, financial, and you just need a minute or two to pray with somebody of faith, that's what these guys and gals are up here for. Now, let me talk about repentance. Repentance is not praying a prayer like this. "Oh man, I shouldn't have done that. My bad, God." because that's the way most Christians repent. They just be like, oh, my bad. Sorry, Lord. That's not repentance. Repentance is that we grieve over our sin. Repentance is that we're sorry we sinned against the Lord. Our sin cost a man's life. So repentance before God is not just like, yo, thanks. There's no honor in that. There's no reverence in that. Repentance is that there should be tears, a holy sorrow, that we recognize that we were sinners, but that he loved us so much he died for us, and he's willing to take our sin and lift that burden so that we can get past our past. So I want to encourage you to repent of your sin. Because 1 John says, if we're willing to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But we need to repent, not just say, my bad. So that might look like you kneeling at your chair and making your chair an altar. That might be you coming down to these altars and just kneeling before the Lord and having some time, whether it's some recent sin or some past sin that you have been holding on to and you have been shaming yourself with. Man, I double dog dare you to bring that thing to the cross, bow before the Lord, and ask him to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you, and then to help you forgive yourself. Listen, we all do dumb, but only a few are dumb enough to live in it. Receive forgiveness, receive his grace, and move forward.